Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honour. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Thank you for joining with us here again on Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, and today we're moving again to that message on Except a corn of wheat fall into the earth and die. Such is the life of the Lord Jesus, that he laid down his life for a harvest to bring forth life to lost sinners. And that is our happy message today as we bring you the message of the gospel from our church pulpit here in Cloverdale, British Columbia. I hope that today will be a message of great strength to you. We know that we face many issues and troubles, and at the end of the program I'll have a little pastoral talk. But stay tuned now as we move to our pulpit ministry, John 12:24, except a corn of wheat fall into the earth and die.
There is now an innumerable company, multitudes of redeemed by the death of the Lord Jesus. Now, one of the things about seeds when they're planted is the multiplication factor, and a hundredfold is common. And when you plant a seed in the ground, it can be amazing. You know, the farmer sows a bag of seed and he can take away a truckload at harvest time. It has multiplied. And so out of one life, the life of the Lord Jesus, comes forth the thousands, millions, multitudes, innumerable numbers of souls that are saved by the power of his death. And so we stand in amazement. And we take this cup and bread today with great thanksgiving, great praise for all that the Lord has done and the church that he has redeemed by his blood. Now we move down to verse 27, and you'll see that the Lord surrendered unto death because he was determined for the glory of God. He prays here in verse 28, Father, glorify thy name. Glorify thy name. And these verses 27 and 28, they really clear up the whole intent of the Lord going to the cross. It was for the glory of God, not for himself, not for his own agenda, but for the glory of God. And you'll see how the Father commended the Son. And he said to him, verse 28, then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have glorified it and will glorify it again. And then in verse 27, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Everything in Jesus' life was preparation for this hour. All of his incarnation, all of his birth, youth, manhood, baptism, his ministry, his preaching, his perfect life of obedience, his withstanding temptation, defeating the devil over and over and over, and all the victory that he got in his life, everything was to equip him to be that sacrifice, that perfect Savior who would lay down his life on that cross. And of course, his redemption was all about bringing glory to the Father. And here you have the Father speaking out this confirmation by a voice from heaven. I have glorified it and will glorify it again. Now, three times the Father's voice was spoken at Jesus' baptism, at the transfiguration, and here in this last days, hours before his crosswork, you have the Father speaking loudly, clearly, and it was interpreted as a thunder. What a powerful voice as the Father spoke forth, and we'll find that it is all to bring wonderful glory and wonderful honor unto the Lord Jesus. There is nothing that we could do today that will bring more honor to our Savior than by remembering his death, because it is what glorifies him and glorifies the Father. And as we glory, as we take delight in the crosswork of the Lord Jesus, then we bring great honor and great glory unto the Father. And what a wonder it is. Now, you'll notice if we go back a little bit now to verse 25, that Jesus' surrender unto death is to be imitated by all true disciples. Verse 25, here is the Lord speaking to his disciples. He that loveth his life shall lose it. Now, just like the seed, if you try to protect the seed in the ground, say you spray it with silicone or some material that will keep the moisture from getting at the seed and causing it to sprout and die. If you try to preserve the seed, there'll be no growth. If you try to keep Jesus away from the cross, there would be no church. There would be no salvation. And now the Lord is saying to his disciples, he that loveth his life shall lose it. If you try to shield your life from the cross work of Christ, if you try to shield yourself from the shame of it, from the denial that is required to be under the cross, if you will not take up the cross, if you will say, I'll try and shirk that responsibility, then what happens? You lose it. You can't be saved without surrendering to the cross work of the Lord Jesus. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. In other words, you make a choice. I'm going to pay the price to be a cross bearer. I'm going to pay the price to be identified with the man of Calvary. Whatever it costs me, I must put Jesus and his cross work first in my life and take the consequences, whatever they may be. Now, that doesn't, in this verse, apply to the life and death of the Lord Jesus. It applies to all who follow him. And we are to surrender our lives to the will of the Lord. And the Lord has said, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And so we have a choice to make. And in fact, by becoming communicants, we make that choice. We are declaring publicly in the church, I am identifying myself with the cross of Calvary. I accept these symbols as pictures of that death of Jesus, that blood of Jesus upon the cross. And I am a Calvary Christian. I am identified with the Son of God in his shame, in his suffering upon that tree. It is the only hope I have of heaven. My hope is in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this new year, I'm just trying to make this in practical, real terms of how it should impact upon us in this new year, this is the call of the gospel upon our lives. And I would pray that you would take up the cross all the more in this new year. And maybe the parable of the workers in the vineyard that we had a few weeks ago will apply. Those who came at the 11th hour, they received a penny just like others. And maybe you have not been a cross bearer. Maybe you've been trying to shirk the reproach of the cross. You've been trying to minimize the cost that it is to serve and follow the Lord Jesus. But if you come and take up that cross, the rewards are wonderful. Look at the promise in verse 26. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Do you want to be on God's good side? Do you want to have God's smile of favor and pleasure? You want to glorify your Father in heaven? Then be a cross bearer. Take up the cross. Deny yourself and let that cross do its work within your heart. And so we're all called to choose the way of the cross. And I'm not just preaching to sinners now. Yes, that applies to sinners. They need to be saved by the way of the cross. If you're not a Christian, you must come to the cross. But I'm also preaching to Christians. You will not bring forth much fruit in your Christian life without being a cross bearer, without identifying with Calvary. And I would say to you as your pastor, if you want victory in your Christian life, go to the cross every day and pray on the grounds of the cross. Plead for the victory of Calvary to be poured into your life. Surrender to it. Make it your delight, your joy, your very worship and your devotion. And of course, it will do a deep work in your heart. The first thing that you'll find is you can't love the cross and love the world at the same time. It won't work. When you fall in love with the cross and you are a cross bearer day by day, you will have no part with the world because the world hates the cross. The world denies the cross. The world shuns the cross. But because you lay hold upon it, surrender to it, and imbibe it into your life, then you are separated unto the gospel, dying to self and dying to sin. And so your prayer should be, even as we take communion now, in a few minutes, even as we take the cup and bread, our prayer should be, Lord, lay the cross upon my life. Lay it upon me. Let the cross do a deep work to change me and to bring me to a faithful, full, loyal service unto the Lord. Don't be half-hearted. Don't be aiming to try and please the world and please your Heavenly Father at the same time. Because number one, you can't do it. It'll never work. And it will wean you away. It will change you from surrender to the cross to surrender to the world. The world is very powerful. The devil's behind it. Pride is behind it. The flesh is behind it. Your flesh, your sinful nature, it responds very quickly to the advertisements and the temptations of the world. It will suck you in like a great big vacuum. And you need power to withstand the world. And that power is the cross. And as you surrender your life more and more to the cross, you will be an overcomer in the world by the blood of Jesus. Don't we read that about the saints in heaven, that they overcame the devil by the word of their testimony and by the blood of the Lamb? Oh, that's how we ought to be praying, and that's the attitude that we need to have. Now, the ultimate promise, look at verse 32. And I, Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. I must say that that text has puzzled, it has, I'm going to use the word titillated, it has challenged me all my Christian life. What is this? If I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Well, historically, it meant Jesus going to the Roman gibbet, the cross. But in our Christian lives and our ministry, our work, our whole testimony ought to be lifting up the crucified Savior, telling the world of a crucified Savior, telling men and women of the love of God that culminates, that comes together at the cross of Calvary. We were reading and studying just briefly on one of Paul's prayers in Ephesians. And his prayer for the Ephesians in chapter 3 is that they might comprehend with all saints what is the length, the breadth, the depth, and the height of the love of God that passeth knowledge. Wonderful, wonderful prayer. And when we are in love with the cross, we experience the love of God in our souls. It's a wonderful, wonderful power. And this now becomes our job description. If you ask, what is your church really aiming for? What's the goal? What's your mission? What's your vision? A vision statement. It is to hold up Jesus Christ and Him crucified, to see the power of the Lord drawing men, women, boys, and girls to saving faith and the enjoyment of the infinite love of God. That's our mission. That's our work. And I realize there's a whole Bible to preach and there's all kinds of subjects in it, but we must get to the cross. We must lead sinners to the cross. And we must, as Christians, get more and more our hearts, minds, souls fixed upon the victory that is ours in the cross of the Lord Jesus. So I call you today to surrender to the cross. Whatever it means, whatever you have to give up in your life, and it will not be a hardship. Spiritually, eternally, it'll not be a hardship. It'll be good for you. It may be a battle, yes, a battle, to give up worldly things, give up the pleasure of sin for a season, a battle to say no to things that get in the way of living for Jesus. And that might be time. There are things that might be very good in all of our lives, but I couldn't be out playing golf all week and come and preach to you today. I couldn't be out sailing on a boat up Indian Arm or down the coast anywhere all week and come and preach the cross today. It has cost me every minute of this week to be able to come and preach to you today. It has cost me. I have not spent my time watching television. I have not spent my time in many other things that might be innocent in themselves. But I had to get to the work of preaching the cross. I started studying this passage last Sunday afternoon. I was over in Calgary and I was in a home where they had a commentary on John's gospel. And I wanted to start reading what it had to say on this passage. And so at every free minute I had all week, I was looking at these things. Now, why do I say point that to myself? I'm saying that because it's going to cost you to identify with the cross of Christ. It's going to cost you free time. It's going to cost you perhaps friendships. There's going to be times when you'll have to say no. It's going to mean discipline because you're identifying with the cross and you're surrendered to the message of it and to the mission of it, to get this gospel to the world. All of this comes to us today.
Not have I gotten, but what I receive. Grace hath bestowed it since I have believed. Boasting excluded, pride I abase. I'm only a sinner, saved by grace. Only a sinner, saved by grace. Only a sinner, saved by grace. This is my story, to God be the glory. I'm only a sinner, saved by grace.
It's time for one of my pastoral talks. I heard you were not well, so I felt compelled to visit so I could talk with you. I'm very sorry to learn of what you're going through. We are thankful for the care you are receiving.
We can pray for an accurate diagnosis as well as the right treatment for you. The hardest thing about illness is the uncertainty. It can be worse than the pain itself or the interruption that sickness brings into our daily lives. It puts so many things on hold. As you wonder what is going on, and if you are a Christian, you will be asking, why me and why now? Remember that we are living in a fallen world, that every son and daughter of Adam is subject to the curse of sin from Adam's fall into disobedience to God. It is called the fall, for through his disobedience, Adam fell into sin and brought the curse of sin upon the world. These questions are good, and the Lord wants us to ask them so that our hearts are turned away from our own self-confidence, because he wants us to trust in him for the strength we need. The very fact that we ask, what is going on, we are realizing that we're not in control. We are learning that God gives us our health and God determines the measure of strength we enjoy. As you face medical tests and procedures and endure the waiting for results and the next step of your treatment, you may be asking, is God still with me? Let me read a few verses with you from Psalm 40 to answer your fears. This is to the chief musician, a psalm of David. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. I emphasize the words, thy thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned. As they answer our fears, God's thoughts toward his children are beyond counting. Because God is omniscient, all-seeing and all-knowing, he will not forget you. Even when you're distracted, so that you lose sight of the Lord, he cannot forget you. God is constantly thinking of you and for your good. Read also verse 17 to discover that God's thoughts are not empty. He thinks on us to help. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. It is right, therefore, to call on the Lord in prayer for his help. The great physician shows that he cares and will come to your aid to minister to your heart, even in your weakest moment. Pray then, believing what you have just learned from the Bible in Psalm 40. Father in heaven, I now know you know what I am facing at this time of illness. You know every thought and every fear that fills my heart, while I go through things that I do not understand. Father, draw near to me to strengthen my faith at this time, while my body is weak. Reassure me of your love for my soul. Pour your grace into my life right now to help me. Do not leave me alone. I know that you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus, into the world to save your people from their sins. I know for the Lord to purchase my salvation, it meant suffering on the cross. I know that he has done this, and that he is willing and able to help me now. So, in this time of my need, come, Lord Jesus, into my life to bless me with true peace through the gospel, and deliver me from all my fears. thank you for your word to comfort me. Use it in my heart today. And this I pray and ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Canada. This is Ian Gallagher. As we go through this pandemic and face the ravages of this virus, let us each call on the Lord for His mercy to remember our own safety, our families, our friends, our churches, and the whole nation. Many are reeling, governments are struggling, and our medical people are exhausted. Let us cry to God for mercy. Would you join with me now? Father, we come to Thee in prayer in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus, the King of kings and Lord of lords. And O Lord, Thou art King over all the earth as our Creator. And, O Lord, You know all about this pandemic and this suffering that is going on among our nations at this time. And we think of vast multitudes who are living in fear, in sickness, in death. We think of hospitals that are overloaded and overburdened, the great waste and carnage that is around our nations. We cry to Thee, O God, for Thy mercy, and pray that You would, by Your Spirit, turn the hearts of men from their ungodly sins to their repentance and a turning to God in genuine conversion. O Lord, we pray that Thy fear would rule the hearts of all men at this time, and we pray for our Prime Minister, we pray for our legislature representatives, we pray for MPs and MPPs and local authorities as well, even those in the medical system. We cry to Thee, O God, for grace. We pray, Lord, that You will have mercy and hear our petitions for Thy blessing and help as we turn unto Thee. In the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.
You have been listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of this broadcast or would like to hear it again, you can go to ltbs.ca. You will also see ways you may support this gospel ministry. And you will find details about our church in Scarborough, where Pastor Larry Saunders is the minister. In Port Hope, where Reverend Reggie Cranston is the minister. In Barrie, where Reverend Anthony D'Aderno is the minister. And in Buffalo, where Reverend Phil Owen is the minister. You will find all their details at ltbs.ca. If I can be of personal help, I would love to open the Bible to talk and pray one-to-one with you, so that you may know you are saved and sure of it. Call me at 604-897-2040 or email me at ltbsradio@gmail.com. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. Until the same time next week on this station, may the Lord bless you and keep you in His loving care.